Hello everyone, welcome back to the Double Cleanse podcast, a podcast with me, James Welsh.
And me, Robert Welsh.
Who's touching his microphone.
Sorry,
a lot.
I just had to slide it very closely that way.
Closely this
Saturday
way.
Okay,
right. Well, I hope it's sorted for you and everyone.
Yeah, no, it feels really great now.
Yeah, I'm glad you're in a good place with that.
Wait, let me move this wire also.
Okay, yeah, sorry. Actually, bear with us while I make a few adjustments.
There's just wires everywhere. You think it was a wire shop? Right.
Okay. You're right?
Yes, done.
No, in general, you're right.
Yeah, I'm tired.
Yeah,
today.
Me too.
I'm really tired. Yeah. You know what's happened to me?
Go on.
As I'm aging.
Yes.
I wouldn't say aging.
No, I would say aging. Hang on.
I think you're fine without
that. I think I'm fine without that.
I can't sleep on my right-hand side anymore because my hip hurts.
That's the only side I sleep on.
It used to be. I can't sleep on my back. Because
nightmares?
It wakes me up when I snore, when I swallow my tongue.
I get nightmares when I lay on my back.
Oh, you do?
Really bad nightmares, yeah.
Oh, I don't do that.
Really strange.
So now I can only sit on my right.
Does that not really... Is that why you can't sleep? Because you can't just do it. Because if I lay on my left, I'm like, this is comfortable. Then literally... I try falling asleep and I'm like, I can't do this.
No, I'm fine.
This isn't me.
I'm going for changes. No, it's absolutely fine. I'm comfortable with it. I just don't like the fact that my hip hurts. And then now when I sit on the floor, I have to go, stand up.
Oh, I've been doing that for
like
years.
2 seconds with my hip and then go, oh my
hip. You get up and every joint cracks for no reason.
And then I'm like, I should do yoga.
Oh no.
Yeah, because it helps stretch your joints.
Yeah, but what age group really do yoga seriously?
30s?
I guess so. I don't know where I was going with that. I think I'm thinking Tai Chi, you know, where they do slow moving.
Oh, no, that's Madonna business.
Yeah.
I don't want to be Madonna.
Well, Madonna, we used to say she can't dance, she just does yoga
really
quick.
She does really quick yoga. Super fast yoga moves.
Remember when she was obsessed with yoga and it was really weird?
I think because she became, what's the religion with where they put the red string around their wrist?
Oh, I can't remember.
It's very peaceful and all about like meditation and stuff.
Oh,
I think
nice.
Because she started doing, like all the celebrities did, do you remember?
Oh, they did, yeah. They all got that little red thing at the time. I guess like back then it was like now how they're all like raw vegan and stuff.
Exactly, exactly. How about you?
I'm also very tired. I'm tired where I can feel it in my face.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like I feel like my face
like
is catching
tight
up.
Around the cheek eye area.
Yeah, tight, I feel like it's not catching up with how I'm talking.
All your feelings are in the cheeks.
Yeah, but what's happening? New puppy is obviously tiring, but then also at the same time, we had no other choice but to get our older dog, Spade.
Yeah.
So now we're in this like in between world where they can't play together because they play quite rough.
Yeah.
And we obviously don't want her opening up.
Opening up.
So now we're trying to think, how are we doing this whilst trying to work at the same time and meet deadlines?
Exactly.
And also, I've broken out with some irritation, which is really fantastic, and it's really stressful when your job is talking about skin.
Yeah, maybe it's the time of year. It did snow the other day.
Yeah, maybe it's the
maybe
snow.
It's the snow.
Thank you, I think you're right.
Yeah. The snow makes everything look better, but worse.
Right, all thank right. you. Okay, I'll okay. remember that
I'm glad
next year.
Spoke about that.
But other than being term, I keep buying shit again. I can't help it.
I do. And I don't know what to do about it.
I keep looking for clothes that I don't know why, because I don't go out. Mm-hmm. People only see my top half.
Yeah.
And then like now I'm literally wearing like anime leggings and a hoodie.
Yes,
no one's
are.
Looking at us.
I'm on the hunt for the perfect at home trouser.
Yeah.
And I don't want to wear joggers
it's
anymore.
It's a new ITV documentary.
Yeah, on the hunt for, I go across the world during a pandemic. I don't want to wear like saggy joggers anymore. I'm sick of it.
Do I hate about saggy joggers?
You can't tell you're putting on weight.
That's something I've not considered before, but yes, but when you wear them too much,
the knees
come out.
They start to flap.
So you can't just, so you can't just pop outside.
You can't go to the bin
with
flappy
your flappy knees.
So I don't want to wear jeans all the time. And secondly, because none of them fit me anymore.
Yeah.
But I just want, I have this one pair of trousers from Boohoo Man. And They're really comfortable, but they look like cropped trousers,
mm.
but they feel like leggings, but right. they're not as tight as leggings.
Right.
And I just want the same.
Could you not just buy more of those?
They don't exist anymore.
This is a thing with Boohoo.
Mm. Fast fashion. It's probably fashion really unethical to buy.
It's unethical, first of all. Yeah. Like,
so maybe I'll stop.
You know, not that weird.
Maybe I'll look on Etsy.
What for?
But small businesses.
Yeah, but the problem is with that is that, again, with anywhere, is that you don't know. Like, the trousers you're wearing now, you thought were the perfect at-home trouser, and they're not. Oh,
fucking shit. So, I feel like I'm at a job interview.
Yeah, wouldn't you feel better returning to, a like, ASOS or Boohoo?
Why would you call... I mean, these are from ASOS.
Mm.
So why would you call something a smart jogger?
Mm.
Is, in my opinion, it's joggers, but the cut is smart.
No. Wrong. So when I worked for them, and when I used to dress men, a smart jogger was the look of joggers, but made out of a smarter material.
Who the fuck wants that? Why on earth would you
I don't
want
know,
that?
Paul from Essex, probably.
Why would you want... He was like, oh, I need to dress smart, but I want them to look... What a shit... I'm so disappointed.
I know.
Maybe if I ever quit YouTube and I go for a job interview, I'll wear these.
Your smart joggers.
Yeah. Yeah. A Starbucks would be my preferred job.
Oh, do you know what? If this goes to shit, I think I just want to work at a coffee shop.
Yeah.
I miss speaking to regulars.
Yeah, making sandwiches.
Yeah, making sandwiches.
Well, you don't do, you just pull them out of a packet.
Yeah, that's a dream.
Well, I could, with my makeup artist experience, I could Subway and become a sandwich artist. That's what they call them.
How did you link that to makeup?
Artist, makeup artist, sandwich artist.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah.
You could, I could, I'd be like, yeah, but you know, this is how you artist.
Yeah.
Stamped to witch.
Yeah, you'll give your sandwich some nice lips.
Yeah.
If I had to work in Starbucks, it would be like Starbucks in Sainsbury's.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Because people get too serious about it otherwise.
Well, Starbucks and my dream, if we had Target in the UK, would be Starbucks and Target. Because on my lunch break, I'll just go and buy stationery I don't need.
Yeah, candles.
And a mirror. I'll come back with a new mirror every day.
Yeah.
And a tray.
A mirrored tray.
Yeah. I just thought it'd be nice to put candles on.
Yeah. Oh, your jewellery.
Yeah.
One thing, though, that does worry, like, I remember when I worked in the salon, is you'd get your regulars and you won't recognise them on the phone or even face to face because you see so many people. And we're like, hey, and you're like, hey. I'm like, how are you? And I'm like, yeah, great. How's everything going? And they're like, oh, I just wanted to rebook in for the regular. And you're like, oh.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, well, we used to do this thing where...
How do you spell your last name?
Yeah, or like, oh, can you just remind me of your postcode, please? Yeah. Or like, can you just give me the last three digits of your number? Because it makes it sound like we're, like, getting into the mainframe.
Yeah. Yeah. Hacking into a business.
Yeah. Hacking businesses. On that note...
Of hacking businesses.
Of hacking businesses. sexy sandwich baguettes.
Yeah.
Is there anything you've been loving?
Yes, these smart joggers. No. So I, hashtag not spawn, but hashtag gifted.
Mm.
I got sent the Rare Beauty Stay Vulnerable collection.
What does this mean?
Oh, it's fucking beautiful.
Why is it called Stay Vulnerable?
So I read the inslept.
I'm sorry, this lighting above you is giving you the biggest shadows on your nose and I can't look at you.
It's just a light.
I'm just, yeah, I know, but you just have these monstrous shadows.
Wait, don't turn it off. Let me look in the mirror.
Okay. Wait. Pass the mirror here and I'll show you.
Okay. Down. Up. Yeah, that's terrible.
Do you see what I mean?
It looks like I've been chimney sweeping.
Yeah,
turn it off. I don't want them to hear me like this.
Unfortunately, it's not working right
okay,
now.
Well, oh, there we go. Okay, that's really bad.
It's horrible.
It's fine. It's fine. We're tired.
Yeah, we're tired.
What's I going to say? Yeah, so...
Why is it called Feeling
stay,
Vulnerable?
Stay Vulnerable.
Stay Vulnerable.
Because this Preston slipped said... It's Sorry. The collection is inspired by flush of the skins that you get when you're like vulnerable, so like embarrassed,
rosacea.
Mm. No, but it's really, really nice. I do a liquid eyeshadow. I was like, this isn't gonna stay on my eye.
Liquid eyeshadow.
Yes. So yeah,
is that a thing? Is that
yeah.
How do you mean?
So it's like licky. It's like a cream.
Yeah.
Like a mousse. And you put on your eyelid.
Yeah.
But this is the only one that stayed on. You were around the other day because you had to look after my puppy because we had a vet emergency. Mm-hmm. And I was a full face of makeup.
Mm.
that eyeshadow I was wearing for hours and hours and hours, and it stayed on the whole time. No creasing. Usually they crease really quickly because of the greasy eyelids. Liquid. Perfect.
Oh my God.
The whole collection is beautiful. The blush is beautiful. They have a, is it called glossy lip balm or lip glossy balm? It's like a lip gloss basically, but it's not sticky and tacky. So nice.
She has done
really fucking well.
Really well.
Really well. A whole collection. Sorry, I'm so slippery.
You're salivating.
Yeah, I think because I'm dehydrated. The whole collection, everything she's released has been perfect. Mm. Apart from that powder puff, sorry. Apart from that powder puff thing. Oh, it was terrible.
I'm not fully aware of her makeup.
I tried to use it in a video. It's like this compact, and it has a powder puff in with no, it's like built-in powder and then like some blotting papers, which I don't use.
Oh, that's weird.
Anyway, but the powder puff has powder built in, and you really have to press it. And I was sitting there pressing for ages.
You mean like you don't puff it against something then on your face?
No, it's built within it. Powder. Oh, so you do have to. I was pushing it on my hand for a while to see if I could get any of the powder out.
Like when you have to shake a new eyeliner, right? Or
exactly. Yeah, nothing came out, and I tried to use it on my face, and it took off more foundation than it put powder on my skin. So
a nail.
That's the only bad thing, but the rest of it's been absolutely incredible.
Fellini.
Yeah, no, she's done really loud.
Yeah, no. Oh, God, I'm ever so proud of her.
Yeah. James.
Yes.
Even love and nothing.
Listen, I'm taking it back to Biosix, I think.
Oh, well, that's the lean.
Yeah. Fresh aloe.
Yeah.
Because our ex-pimple patches.
Yeah, you forget, don't you?
You forget how good they actually are. You try a low, because I think they were the original to bring them out in circle. Well, they weren't, like, small Japanese companies had done it for a long time, like 3M and all that kind of stuff. Sorry, these chairs are shit.
Yeah, 3M, I remember those.
Yeah.
We do need bed chairs. We should just get a bench.
Yeah,
no, our backs will hurt.
Yeah, but they were the first to bring out some that were really, really good.
I don't think that'll be that loud, sorry.
Robert is mixing coffee. Oh, hang on, let's take a break. Very sweet.
It's not really nice, is it?
I find the sugar-free syrup more sugary.
Yeah, they try to make it taste more sugary.
Yeah. You forget that these pimple patches are just very good at doing what they're supposed to do.
Here's the thing, because it's such a claim, isn't it? Like, this, pop this on and your pimple's going to be gone. And there's some brands I've used that I fucking hated. Mm. I think it was that... I always get confused with Dr. Jar and another... Was it this brand, actually? The Ole Henriksen?
Ole Henriksen.
Who has it? I can't remember. Don't take any of that as word. But they came in a blue tin. I got them in Sephora when I was in Florida.
Oh, God, what were they? They were shit.
Fucking shit.
Oh, God, what were
they? They were so awful. And I was shocked because I was like, this is... all the pimple patches I've used have worked. 3M.
Yeah.
Zit Sticker. Peace out.
Yeah.
What's the other one? COSRX.
COSRX.
Yeah. They're the ones I've used and have all worked. Yeah. Absolutely fine. These ones are fucking awful.
But this is the thing. I feel like Starface are really, really good.
Yeah, I haven't used those yet.
Let me give you a packet.
Yes, I'll take a whole packet.
They're really good, and they're the only two brands that, one, I can put moisturiser over. So you're meant to do it before treatment stage should come before your moisturisers, right? So depending what it is.
Yeah, you know what I do, so just quickly.
What?
If I'm like, right, I'm going to put a pimple patch on tonight, I just wash my face. And then put one on. Because I didn't know, I thought the oil grease would interrupt. No. Mm.
This is the problem with you.
Deep pain.
No, you can moisturise over the top of them or just moisturise around them, like literally.
I think, that makes sense. Yeah.
But like, I've got like Hello Kitty ones and star-shaped ones. Right, so like, you can't really... No, they're limited edition. So you can't really moisturise around those very well. But the COSRX ones, so they're hydrocolloid patches, right?
These other ones, sorry to keep interrupting you.
You just keep doing it. I've been trying to explain what they are for the longest time.
Just a quick note from me. There's two different kinds.
Right.
There's one with a red square on and one with a black square on.
Right, so one of them is the... I don't actually know the difference.
No, but I find, for some reason, I find the ones in the red square
better. Yeah, they're like the original.
Yeah.
So they're patches that you put over a spot.
Let me just say, no,
you put them over the spot and they basically protect it overnight. They heal the skin, right?
Right.
And then when you take them off, you can sometimes see like pus and like bits of oil. I think it's the best thing about them. But these patches are used in like hospitals to help heal wounds, to help
that makes sense.
To help your skin like retain moisture and stuff. So they're just little versions of that.
You can buy big patches of them in like boots and stuff. Like before zit stickers were even a thing,
right? I didn't know this.
Yeah, but they're kind of like, you have to cut them up yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know, you get, when like the corner ones are always annoying.
Yeah.
So they're just round patches. And I find them more effective than micro dart ones.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
I do like zit sticker. I like their
zit sticker, good for really,
dark
really painful
spot ones as well. Yeah. Really yeah, good.
Really good.
But I do find a Cosrx one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, much better. But yeah, like anything I get though, if I get itchy skin, if you know, for some reason you get one little bit of itchy skin.
And it's so itchy.
Yeah, pimple patch Cosrx goes straight over the top. Like I got some irritation down the side trimmed some facial hair.
Yeah.
For some reason, it just went crazy. So I've had pimple patches.
You bet that always happens to you when you shave any kind of hair.
Anytime I remove hair off my face, my face goes crazy. Even if I properly prep everything. Yeah. But pimple patches on any kind of irritation on your skin. Spots.
Yeah.
Not spots. Bites. Irritation. Mm. Spots.
Mm-hmm.
Irritation.
Yeah.
Not spots.
Yes.
Bites.
Right. I just realized I have to leave.
Oh.
Because the Sims update is out today.
Oh, Christ.
There's a new expansion pack.
Is it the paranormal one?
Yeah. Let me just browse the store. Just really quickly. The Sims.
Sorry, Marcus. We're taking a quick break while Robert... Don't you start downloading on my internet.
Oh, I don't think it's available yet. Oh, it's because it's UK. It's different UK time. Sorry about that, everyone. Right, and what are these pimple patches? No, well, that's kind of what we're talking about, say, The Sims.
Yeah. We're taking a different slight direction today. Well, you actually lead this one because you came up with the idea.
Okay, so I came up with the idea this morning.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to talk about... Everyone's seen me and James. Not everyone. I mean, everyone who knows us.
Everyone in the world knows
the whole
who
world,
we are.
Including the Obamas.
The Obamas knows.
Have
oh,
that
no, don't. I would cry.
I would die. So everyone who follows us has probably seen any of our reaction videos.
Yeah.
And let me tell you why I find. So here was my idea, right, when I started doing these reaction videos.
You're pointing very aggressively at me for some reason.
Because it's all your fault.
Okay.
When I started these reaction videos was I like to educate, right?
Okay.
But I find like tutorials and all that stuff don't do so well. People always ask for tutorials, but
they
never
used to be
them.
Very, very popular, very popular. And now people don't care.
People don't give a shit. I'll do a video on something that someone has asked me for ages and I get hundreds of requests and then it's like 2 views.
Yeah.
So... I thought, you know, what way can you do it? That's in an interesting way. And I saw reaction videos. I was like, I'll react. And it's a good way to get some education out there.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people know about makeup now, like how to do it really.
Exactly.
Like,
I mean, there's 12-year-olds out there that can do the best smoky eyes ever.
Yeah.
And cut creases like you've never seen. So that's a great way to do it. And for me, it's the, when I was, you know, working as a makeup artist, it was all this. I had a slight irritation of all this misinformation that was out there that clients would relay back to you. Like, I've seen someone doing this. Shouldn't you be doing this?
Yeah.
Can't I do this? It's like, no. Where
like, carve my face with a spoon.
Right. It's like, where have you seen this information? It's, James, it's still prevalent. Is prevalent a word?
I think, yes, it is. Mm.
Today, which we know because of 5 Minute Crafts.
5 Minute Crafts, Troom Troom.
Troom Troom.
Any Snapchat story, any brand trying to make a quick
back
viral video.
Someone was it in? I posted a 5 Minute Craft video recently, and I was like, in the comments, leave below how would you
great question for everyone.
How would you describe 5 Minute Crafts to people that have never seen it before? And they said it's a content farm. I was
it
like,
is.
That, I have never heard that saying before. That's such a good thing. They must meet up. But you know what? They recycle everything.
All the time. It's against YouTube guidelines.
Is it?
The things they do is they make compilation videos out of all their old videos, like splicing them all together.
Yeah.
That's against YouTube T's and C's, but they probably make too much money for YouTube to do anything about it.
I mean, their videos get millions of views. They have like 25 million subscribers.
Like,
but on one platform, they have loads of different platforms.
They're a content man.
So, listen, some of you may already know, I was tagged on Twitter in this.
Twitter.com.
And somebody tagged me, I won't read out any names, and it's a genuine question. What does the undertone of a foundation have to do with someone's skin type? How does a cooler toned foundation help with oily skin? And I was like, what on earth?
What are you talking about?
So I looked at the, but still barely know how to use Twitter. So I looked at what they were replying to. Anastasia Beverly Hills, Tuesday, Anastasia Beverly Hills pro tip.
Oh God.
If your skin tends to be oily, select a shade off Anastasia Beverly Hills Luminous Foundation that has a cool undertone. So after being, tagged in that, they replied to this person and said, the cool undertone helps matte the oil, but without making the skin look flat. We hope that helps.
Can... Okay, so... No. Right. Yeah,
and then I put... Then I went off on... No, I didn't go off on one.
No, you were quite...
I said, no, I completely disagree. And I went into why that was all completely wrong. Then they later on deleted that pro tip because everyone was retweeting their thing, being like,
Even myself, as someone who doesn't know what half those words were, knew that this made absolutely no sense. It's like, if you want drier hair, use an orange towel.
Right. It's like, oh, James, I have such dry skin. And you'd be like, well, what color is your moisturizer?
Yeah.
Or like, oh, my house is so cold. What color are your walls?
What packaging does
It literally doesn't make. Now, I'm going to give him a benefit of a doubt. And here's what I came to a
Benny
conclusion.
D.
Yeah, a Benny D in my mind is that they're saying, if you are oilier skin, one second, let me just see what they said because it was so ridiculous. I can't remember half of it. Okay. So I'm guessing their cool undertones are what I consider a warm undertone. I worked for MAC for so long. Warm means red to me and cool means yellow.
Mm.
But I think what they're suggesting is that if you have a yellow undertone in your skin but have oily skin, when you mattify it...
Like us.
Yeah, when you mattify it, it can look quite flat.
Right.
Which is kind of fucking rude anyway.
Yeah.
So they're saying, why didn't you choose a tone that is red? That has more, supposedly, like a bronzier tone to it, and then mattify it, then you won't look as flat. Which doesn't make sense. So they're suggesting that the warmth from that red tone will make your skin more whatever.
But whatever then, isn't that presuming that all people with oily skin is a certain undertone as well?
Yeah, exactly. But also that you have dull as fuck skin and your skin looks shit.
You can go so many directions that could possibly mean.
It's just the biggest amount of misinformation I've ever seen. And it's from a brand like Anastasia Beverly Hills.
Well, who is their pro? Is it an intern?
No
who
idea.
Got charge of Twitter no idea. For the weekend?
No idea. I wonder if they said anything about it, actually.
Yeah, have a look.
And just so many... How many people saw that tweet? So they have... 800, okay, not as much as, it's still a lot, 845,000.
Oh, I thought they would have been in the millions.
I did too, but I just guess they haven't been doing so well.
Twitter's one of those platforms, though, when it's like, I don't expect followers on it because I don't do anything to get followers. Right, I literally go on it to make complaints to brands.
Yeah, and ask questions.
And ask questions to everyone.
Sorry, there. Wait, let me just click on their pro tip hashtag. So that hashtag now, though, the Anastasia pro tip thing, has become a little bit of a joke. You can go through them and see
what people make doing pro tips.
If your skin's looking oily, pick up one of our glow kits and apply that all over the face before foundation. The shimmer will make your oil matte. So everyone's just taking the piss out of it now. But that's the kind of audience people have.
But this is the thing, that was a pro tip from a makeup brand, presume would have professional makeup artists working for them.
Who's your pro? Where's your pro sitting there thinking, what can I do?
How can I shake up the industry?
How can I invent something new? It's just a little bit, you know, and here's what my problem with that mainly.
Problems.
One, it was wrong.
Yeah.
Two, there were people like, oh my God, what a great tip.
Yeah, I saw under the comments. So I never thought of this.
Yeah, are they now going to go, I don't know how they made sense of that in the first place, but now are they now going to go and buy a different tone foundation to their undertone?
So which that actually, they're not oily anymore.
Exactly, but when that tone oxidizes on an oily skin, you can bet it's going to go 1 to 2 shades darker. So that's wrong anyway.
Oh, that sounds really cool.
It sounds really cool.
Yeah.
But wrong. So they're going to waste their money because this brand has told them, actually, you're oily. Have you tried changing the color of your skin?
Do they have like a new release that is linked to it in
I don't
any
know
way?
If that actually, let's have a look. I don't know if that foundation's new.
Oh, by the way, we haven't really talked about what we're talking about yet. We're going to talk about misinformation.
Oh, yeah.
But I think amongst professionals, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like just with, but throughout all factors of like the online world, I guess, so from influencers all the way up to professionals.
Yeah. So, yeah, and it's just like, how it does misinformation like that really matter? Like, is it worth making reaction videos? Is it worth, you know, saying, listen, everyone, stop 5-minute crafts?
Yeah.
We don't stop them. They're doing what they do, but we all know it's a joke.
Like, so I'll say, obviously, you're a professional makeup artist. Yes. I'm not a licensed anything when it comes to skincare. But I do my homework, and I'm at a point now where I can admit that I know a bit more than the average person.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, you would have to. You've been doing YouTube for how long?
And I wouldn't have a channel, right? But I'm definitely, you know, this is the reason why I share real professionals on my channel as well.
Exactly.
Dermatologists.
Chemists.
Estheticians. Pro Tip Tuesdays. Because I think it's important, you know, to get your information from a wide range of people.
Yeah.
I think it was the EcoWell who actually posted about why consumer reviews and, like, review channels, not, she wasn't saying my own channel, but, you know, why they're important for things. Like, when it comes to reading the ingredient list, you can't work out, you know, what the product's going to do for you. Mm-hmm. So maybe from a chemist's point of view, you can see, like, oh, why that's why that's in there. This is how this changes up the product.
Right.
But consumer reviews are good because they tell you what the final outcome and results are for of that product, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But this is the problem, is I've mentioned, I think literally in the last two episodes, that now within the skincare world, you have everyone from consumers like myself who review products all the way up to dermatologists. Mm-hmm. But within the expert world, there are people calling each other out and saying, no, you're wrong. So it gets very, very confusing.
Yeah.
But I feel like with that, at least they're influencers and you know who that person is.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
When it comes to brands, oh my God, I can't stop burping, hold on.
Why don't you eat an egg really fast?
Really good idea. Upside down. When it comes to brands like that, you don't know who tweeted that out. Yeah. Like I said, that could have been like the intern whose job it is to post a pro tip.
It could have been Anastasia herself.
It could have been Anastasia herself, you know? So you just don't know. But that's the thing, is when people see tweets like that or information like that, it's coming from a voice of authority within that industry, right? So like you said, there's going to be people being like, what a great tip.
You're right. It's something I've been struggling with, oily skin. Mm-hmm. Let me change up my foundation
Let me put something red on my face, whatever it was. But here's a question for you. So what's the difference between, say, James Charles, who isn't a trained makeup artist, but he's known for doing good makeup on himself and the similar looks on other people. Yeah. His information, this isn't a trick question, not judging you.
Yeah.
But what would you say is the difference between getting makeup advice from him or your friend who's really good at makeup versus a professional makeup artist like yourself?
Well, here's something that I find is different between an influencer and a makeup artist. I, for one, let's take me as an example of a makeup artist. I have years of experience.
As a makeup artist, you're a good example.
Years of experience not only doing makeup on myself. Actually, I have less experience putting makeup on myself than I do on other people.
Yeah.
So I've been doing... I need to put something in my mind so I remember to say it afterwards. I've been doing makeup for... a long time. And I've done every skin tone, every skin type, every kind of skin texture, you know, every kind of age group. And use many brands throughout that. So here's the difference, though, is that I think you go to a professional makeup artist and an influencer for different kinds of advice.
Mm-hmm.
So James Charles, for example, would have experience using almost every fucking brand I could imagine, you know? When it comes to his experience doing it on other people, lesser amount of experience. Mm-hmm. Like, I would like to see, can somebody do, here's the difference, here's a makeup artist and an influencer, can they do their own makeup and then create an equally as amazing look on someone's skin tone, let's say like Naima Tang?
Yes.
Yeah, who has this amazing, rich skin tone. It's just so stunning. Can you recreate that amazing makeup on her?
Yeah.
Or are you just like me, myself, and my own skin tone?
Yeah.
So to me, a makeup artist can do everything. So they would have advice for people of that skin tone, to the fairest of skin tones, to the driest of skin types, to the oiliest of skin types. That's good advice. And they can create editorial looks. They can do weddings. They can do, you know... your mum's.
What did you say about my mum?
Makeup quickly. Whereas James Charles is a great source, or I don't want to say he's a great source, but an influencer, for example, are great sources for makeup information when it comes to brands reviews, and new how they work on the skin, because there has to be some level of experience there, some makeup experience. And I've seen him do makeup on other people, And it looks great. Like, there's loads of influencers that do makeup on other people, and it looks absolutely fantastic. But
it's usually what their techniques and skills on it's their face
on someone else's face. So that's why, when it comes to someone like... for example, I don't think, like, an influencer would give out pieces of advice, like a pro tip. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So... if they do something, like, for me, that's a key thing as well. Influencers always, like, for me, this is how it works.
For me, in my opinion,
this is how it works for me. Whereas the makeup artist can be like, actually, I've used this on this kind of skin. It doesn't work. It does work. So I think that's a difference there. But I feel like, maybe with me it's a little bit different, but I feel like you go to those two different things for different kinds of opinions and different sources of advice. Like, people might go to you for, see how something worked for you. Like, what's a good skincare routine? You know, my top 10 hits and misses, you know? I don't know what you do, James. I'm sorry. James, I've never watched your videos.
I've never watched your channel.
No, you know what I mean? Like, those kind of videos where it's like quick decisions like this.
Yeah.
Whereas if they think like, right, I really need to sort myself a fuck out, nothing's worked for me, you can go to a dermatologist online or not online. Yeah. Same with makeup artists online or not online, and be like, okay, let's, you know, let's do this.
So that, let's do this.
Pro tip Tuesday this.
So this is a thing as well, is, where are you going?
The ice is really separating my coffee.
My ice like melted straight away. So here's the thing. Here's the thing as well.
Let me just say, sorry, before you say that.
No.
With makeup, it doesn't matter so much. It comes off. Well, that depends. We'll talk about that later. But with skincare, like we said last week, it's a little bit more in depth. So you should pick and choose who you go to for your information. Mm. With makeup, it's like, I relate to that person. I relate to their makeup tastes.
I like the styles.
Yeah. I like the colours. That's my person, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the thing with like makeup, especially, is you can, it can be a hobby for you.
Mm.
It can be like, I'm just trying this and this is my opinion.
Yeah.
Whereas with skincare, there's ingredients. Yes. There's things.
Yes. Skin conditions.
Acids.
Right.
Skin conditions, skin types. Funguses, you know, like actual like scientific this is happening to your skin
And I think that's the difference between the like, makeup and skincare realm is that like it's nice to have professional makeup artists on YouTube and I feel you need dermatologists on YouTube because I think skincare became so popular that, you know, we're all starting to learn about ingredients and what works and what doesn't and what maybe you couldn't use together and what counteracts each other, you know, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But then you had people being like, to influencers, like sending pictures of their skin.
Yeah, which
it's like, which you shouldn't. Yeah, it's like, I've always said, like, I appreciate that you feel comfortable sending me these pictures, but if you are sending an influencer pictures, you need to go to a dermatologist or a doctor.
Exactly.
So there's been like a bit of discourse, I guess, within the skincare industry recently, where not skincare industry as a whole, because the influencer industry isn't the whole thing, but influencer realm, where you have people with doctor titles coming out with some of the weirdest shit, like the strangest stuff. But people are like, well, they're a doctor.
Right.
And So for example, there was one thing I said in a video. I won't say exactly what. And someone's like, well, this doctor says this. I'm like, well, this chemist, this dermatologist, this product formulator, this, you know, you know, science educator, you know, all these people who understand the science behind what that doctor has learned and is teaching say, well, that's completely untrue.
Right.
But because you have this doctor saying that they and I'm not questioning anybody's doctorate
right
you know or anything like that, but when you've got so many experts publicly having to speak out and say this myth that's happened
is incorrect,
this misinformation is incorrect and frankly quite dangerous, it makes you question the people in authority. And I find that where was I getting at with that? I feel like you don't get that within makeup. Like, yes, there might be some professionals have like a different opinion on how certain products need to be used or how you can use certain products. But at the end of the day, it's not going to be something that's going to destroy the way you look.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. I was watching a another professional makeup artist video the other day, and they said something about a certain way to do something. And I was like, I completely disagree. Mm. But that person has years of experience. Mm-hmm. That person may be working on a certain age group.
Yeah.
Works for them. So, where the products are different. Different textures. I would never do what they said. Because for me, It's not my style. Mm. But then also, again, you don't need a doctorate to be a makeup artist. In the UK, you don't even need, like, a license. You can just insure yourself and be absolutely fine. You don't even need a qualification to practice as a makeup artist in the UK. I know it's different for the States. So it isn't that deep in a way where, actually, you know what? Everyone can have an opinion on makeup because the facts are there. And it's actually... it's with makeup, it's more of a skill. And yes, there's a certain using certain textures together, but we've all learned about it now. It's not as technical as skincare, in my opinion. Like, it's, yes, it's artistic, but it's not as there's a theory behind it, which you can choose to use or not.
Yeah.
Whereas with skincare, it's like you can go against everything, you know, that's bad science
that's been proven. Yeah.
Right. And it can work out terribly for you. But at least with makeup, you can be like, oh shit, that's a mistake.
Wipe it off. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. But this is the thing as well. Does it, the main issue that's kicked off recently is because someone, in their experience working on people's skin, had found that maybe this certain ingredient doesn't work so well for this type of skin. But that's anecdotal. And I can never say that word. Like, that's anecdotal evidence.
I don't know what that means.
So that means like, for me, I find that ice cools a sore throat. But there's no scientific evidence behind that or why that should really happen, right? So when all the science and tests and everything is saying that that's not true...
Yeah.
Then that doctor's opinion is invalid, or do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know why I'm asking you, because but that's like the current thing within skincare and with, I think, anything where it comes to a more kind of like, what's the word? Like,
it's like, yeah, does it? Because they have done their own tests then, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So this is what, like, you know, I think within makeup it's easy to say, well, that's not right and that's not true and to be able to call out a bigger brand.
Right.
Whereas when it comes to skincare, you have one doctor saying something, science saying something completely different, the chemist who actually made the product saying, well, that's not true, that's not how I made the product.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So it's really, really difficult. So when... I feel like brands can skip a lot of the... because I guess people see brands as a professional voice within skincare because you know there's a whole team that works behind it.
Right.
You've got your chemists and everything. Well,
and that's something that people see now as valuable is followers and subscribers and popularity. Whereas, say, I could get to a million and there is somebody who has no subscribers, who doesn't even do YouTube, who is 1,000 times better than I am. Actually, I know loads of makeup artists who are incredible.
Who aren't on the internet.
Who aren't on the internet and who are so much better than I am and so much better than makeup artists I see online. Yeah. But people value subscribers and think that's knowledge.
Well, this is a thing. I always say this is a thing. But that's something that I've noticed recently. And I've seen a lot of the more... I've seen a lot of licensed people, estheticians, dermatologists mention, is that, you know, why are certain people complaining that people without licenses and credentials are more popular than actual dermatologists who are giving out this information.
Right.
Unfortunately, the internet isn't the real world.
No,
and like you said, it's not about who, it's not about, it's about personality.
Yes.
It's about you. Online is a popularity contest.
It's absolutely.
It doesn't matter what credentials you have. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter like how many years you've studied for.
Right.
It doesn't matter. It should do.
Right.
Because that's where your authority should come from.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's a popularity contest.
And it's like real life. Who are you going to listen to? Your friend or some random stranger you've just met?
So like, for example, like when we were young, we did every fad diet, right?
Oh yeah.
If say lemonade diet that Beyonce did.
Yeah.
Well, I love Beyonce at the time. I still respect her. I just don't listen to her music as much because I, you know, K-pop. But if you had done the lemonade diet, I was like, but there was someone on someone on GMTV being like, don't do this, it's bad for you. I would come to you and be like, Robert, did you lose weight on the lemonade
diet? Because
you
know them, you trust their opinion, and it's a popularity. But in your eyes, they're more.
I don't care about Sandra, nutritionist,
no. giving me actual advice.
Like, saying it might kill us. Did it make you lose weight or not? You know?
Yeah, exactly. That's like the cabbage soup diet. Is it for people having heart surgery? Yes.
Yes.
Is it for skinny 13-year-olds who actually only weigh 9 stone? No.
But this is the thing as well. My name's James. This is the thing. But that's it. And I think that's why I think we do have responsibility with not you so much because you are a professional makeup artist and you have that degree behind you.
Right.
degree. You don't have a, he doesn't have a degree, Robert, you have that experience and professional experience behind you. We have a responsibility to show the professional people.
Right.
But then that's not to say that people who are just everyday consumers aren't important, because that's what people care about. Yeah. Like, what did the final product do for an everyday average person?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So I think when it comes to voices of authority, you have to look at what you're after. Like, do I want to know how this is going to work on my eczema? Mm-hmm. I'll see what a dermatologist says. Do I want to know if this is going to get rid of my blackheads in real life, like the product claims? I'll see what a consumer says about it, you know?
Yeah, because it's a normal person.
It's a normal person.
And then you have to look at these people. And, like, sometimes I find, like, videos of makeup artists using stuff, not realizing that they are sponsored by a brand, or they've been gifted from a brand, because they haven't done hashtag gifted or
said that it's an advert.
Anything. And it's like, well, do I actually? No, that's not true, because that's like saying that whenever I get sponsored, I'm lying.
You're lying. Yeah, yeah.
But this is this is a thing.
One thing I've seen a lot recently, because I like to feature a lot of dermatologists that I respect and I feel like are on quite a good neutral level. Mm-hmm. Do you mean like, I've seen people bashing them in my comments, saying like, no real dermatologist will go online. No real dermatologist would take a sponsored job by a
brand.
Why
not? It's a new career move.
Why not? Exactly. It's a completely different time, you know, in people's career.
Same for makeup. You see Lisa Eldridge, one of the best makeup artists of all time ever, has a YouTube channel. And actually, people are like, oh, my favorite beauty YouTubers are Lisa Eldridge. And I find that offensive, because she's not a YouTuber.
No, she's a makeup artist.
She's an incredible makeup artist who, like, I would aspire to be when I first started. And so it's like the most professionals are going online. Do you know, not to be like crass, do you know how much money YouTube can make you over professional makeup? It's insane. Yeah. Like, it's absolutely insane. So why would someone choose to go on YouTube over makeup artistry? Like, I don't understand.
The money. But that's the thing that,
And she has her own brand, so she needs to advertise it. But she does. But to call her a YouTuber, in my eyes, is like, that's insulting.
Yeah.
She's a professional, highly professional,
obviously,
amazing.
We love YouTubers, because we are one.
Yeah.
But I don't see that connection. Like, for example, CeraVe sponsors a lot of dermatologists because they always recommend it.
Right.
Do you mean that it makes total sense? Yeah. It makes total sense. But then people then question their credentials because they are an influencer. Yeah. So I wonder if that's something that Lisa Eldridge would get, like, oh, she's not a real makeup artist, she does sponsored jobs and she's on YouTube, which is what you just said.
She would never, she could never. But then it's like Pat McGrath as well, amazing makeup artist, she just she's a dame here in the UK because she's
because
of her work that she's contributed to the fashion industry. She has her own brand. Best way to advertise it now and to be a well-known person is
YouTube.
Online.
Yeah,
like, I don't think my, if I was still, I wouldn't be a known person if it wasn't for YouTube.
No, I would trust them more. If a licensed professional or a professional makeup artist took a sponsored job, their job is on the line if they recommend something
And that's the thing with sponsored job with a makeup artist as well. It's like, they've probably used it before.
Yeah, they've probably already heard of it, used it, liked it. So like, go on then. There's another, I think when it comes to skincare, I think another popular thing at the moment is like fear mongering to sell, which I think is dying down. We talked about it before. But then the problem with these big brands who are going all natural and they don't use parabens or sulfates and all this kind of stuff,
no nasties,
is that they again are a voice of authority. Then they always seem to come with a dermatologist quote or a scientist quote, or, you know, our chemist says this, and it's like, why are they like, why are they saying that? But which isn't true.
And why is it your chemist?
Like, we don't use parabens because it's been proven to this. Like, well, it hasn't.
Yeah, because they can say anything.
Because they can say anything. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that it's things like that that make you question. Like,
and it's the misinformation. Something as simple as somebody watching a video of misinformation and then commenting on someone's video. If someone sees that comment, it spreads really quickly. Loads of people are going to see that comment, and it can make people feel a certain way. Also, like, especially for me, my, like, I hate saying the word maturer, but my maturer audience would message me a lot saying that they used to try and follow these tutorials online and be like, why is nothing working for me?
Yeah.
And then they would not wear makeup anymore. Because, like, right, makeup industry has forgotten about me.
It's not for me.
Exactly. Whereas all these products can be used in a way that is for everyone.
Yeah. let's talk about reaction videos then. We kind of started off talking about it, but I used to hate them. Not hate them, but when somebody, like, people said, oh, you should do them. I was like, I don't want to do reaction chat videos. Like everyone's doing them. Yeah. But I was getting tagged so much in these ridiculous videos that, as someone, again, who hasn't been taught skincare for, you know, 10 years or whatever, even I could see that these were ridiculous and what was going to happen from that. Mm-hmm. So I think whilst, they're hugely popular, as long as these videos are around and lots of people are seeing them, I would rather make a video about it and get hundreds of thousands of people seeing it too. Right. So there's one boy on TikTok who purposely does the most fucked up shit to his skin on purpose for views. And people always say to me, like, why are you giving him a platform? I was like, he's got over a million followers on TikTok. He already has a platform.
Or does it?
No, he's like, so he did a black peel-off mask, all on one, like, covered his eyes, covered his lips, everything. Yeah. And then ripped it off, right? His eyebrow came off. That kind of shit, right?
Fucking idiot.
And I will say, as long as he is using his platform to do this crazy shit, I'm going to use mine
to say against it. Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think the more people are speaking up against it, and the more, you know, everyday people like myself are saying how ridiculous this is. And then I want more dermatologists, basically, to do these reaction videos.
Why would people be like, you're saying this is shit, it doesn't work? Why are you giving him a platform?
Yeah.
Because it's shit. Because it's shit
and doesn't work. And people need to know. Yes. You don't need to, you know, what he did, the Ordinary's peeling mask and derma rolled over the top of it.
Fuck.
All this stupid stuff.
Oh my God.
And I think as long as people are doing stuff like that, clicks for views, which, again, it's not crazy. It's not a squiggly eyebrow trend. No, it's fucking with your skin, a literal organ of your body. Yeah. I think it's important to then counteract that and give them a platform to say, look how ridiculous they're being. You know?
I always say it's entertainment purposes only. I was watching...
Clickbait to educate.
I was watching the Wendy Williams show yesterday, and they had Jillian Michaels on that exercise.
Remind me.
The workout woman. She was on...
Quite scary.
30 minute...
Slim down.
Yeah, get slim in 30 minutes, I was. And they were talking about some of the things she posted on Instagram, and she literally sat there and openly said, she was like, oh no, that's just for the craziest things I can do for clicks. Was like, that's not how it works. And I wish more people would say that, because the stuff you see is like, fucking, I can't believe he got half that mask on his face.
He's such an idiot.
What moron. Stuff like that is...
Oh, he's like 17, by the way, but still.
Oh God. Oh, why are you doing that to your skin now when your skin is probably fine? It's insane, because people do take it literally. People do take it as serious education.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to try that. No, for what reason?
Yeah.
For what reason?
I know.
And people do take it as advice. And is it dangerous in skincare? Maybe.
Yes, I think it can be.
Is it dangerous in makeup? No, not really. It's not a waste of your fucking money. And it's not truth. And I think that's why it affects me so much, because you spend so long in the profession, and when people start being like, this does this, it's like, no, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, where does this come from? And it kind of makes a mockery of you know, the thing. But it can get, like, really bad. And, like, we get messages I've seen on this podcast. What are we doing? People can have sometimes sent pictures and been like, this is, my skin's like this because I followed this advice. Mm-hmm. I was like, so you did follow advice, you did fuck up your skin.
Mm-hmm.
Still don't ask us, because we're not going to give you advice. Like, you need to see a professional.
Mm.
And it's like, you followed advice and it ruined your skin. That's as simple as it is. You followed advice and it ruined your makeup. You wasted your makeup. You poured foundation over your face. Mm-hmm. Now your 30-pound foundation's all gone.
But also with that, you can say people taking advice from professionals as well. Like, I get comments all the time like, oh, I used to watch this dermatologist, but none of their advice worked for me. That's because they're not giving medical advice on their channel. Mm-hmm. They're giving good information, but dermatologists are there to look at your skin personally and work it out for you. So if you've got a skin condition...
Diet and lifestyle and all that kind of stuff.
So they're not going to like give general overall information that you can use personally for you and your skin condition.
Yeah.
So whenever I get messages like that, I'm always like, you do have to read their disclaimers. They say they're not giving medical advice. They're just, you know, giving you general. So just because something didn't work for you, doesn't mean that person isn't
that
voice of authority. Yeah. But the majority of the time, they're not.
Yeah. it's difficult because it's like, there are professionals online everywhere.
Oh, what did I got a comment the other day. It was like,
It was like, fuck you, James. I've commented this on Hiram's channel too. I've been following your advice for months now and nothing's worked for me. Hiram's advice too and nothing's worked for me. I was like, what? Like, what did he think?
What are you doing?
So what video did he watch? Like, my top five essences from my skin personally. Yeah. And then none of it worked for right. you. So now you're offended. Like, if you have real issues with your skin, go and see someone. If you're just wondering, like, how a product worked for someone. This is the thing, is I feel a lot of people need to be able to use common sense. And a lot of people do. So... Mm. I always say how people should see the internet is as follows.
Yeah.
You should be watching your influencers.
Yeah.
For example, I talk about my favorite chemical exfoliant.
Right.
I'm like, I always say what kind of skin I have. Yeah. I have oily combination skin. Yeah. This is my favorite exfoliant.
Right.
Because it's got this ingredient in these work well together. You know, I don't like this one because that doesn't work so well together. Mm-hmm. I'm using it on my face. This is my results. Then be like, oh, okay, I wonder what this dermatologist has to say about his skin and what those ingredients do for that skin. Then there's a ton of chemists online, like cosmetic chemists. What do they say about the actual effects of this ingredient for skin? You know, what's the science behind
it?
You know, you don't have to do that much research because you have to remember brands, again, do work with cosmetic chemists and they formulated a nice product and, you know, just it's fine to go by product claims and be perfectly happy with that. But just don't be disappointed if it works for you or doesn't.
Right.
But, you know, if you're really looking for advice and you really want to work out what works for you and what doesn't, you can't blame an influencer because your skin didn't like something that was in their end of month favorites, you know?
Right. And it's not as simple as dry, oily combination.
No,
That's a very
basic, you know, set of rules.
Right.
Skin types, I guess, don't really exist, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I would say, just because there are professionals online, it doesn't mean they're the only advice. Their advice is going to be for you, and it's the only advice you should take.
Let's pray surgeons don't start doing YouTube videos. Can you imagine?
We're like, well, this surgeon said, I've opened up my arm, and it looks like
I've done it how they did it.
Thank you and your advice. What happened recently? Oh, so there's a famous dermatologist on TikTok, millions of followers, and it's got, I think, 1 million on YouTube.
Right.
Dermatologist, everyone else hates him. Everyone hates him. People will probably be able to tell who it is from this, but he's a holistic dermatologist and he spews the biggest amount of bullshit.
Holistic.
So they take a more natural approach usually. Mm. You know, like light a candle and put sage on your face kind of stuff. I think, I don't know. But he has his own product line. Like he has made videos about parabens, for example. Mm. Like it was something like top five ingredients you should be putting your face, and parabens was one of them.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Which is just the best example of fear-mongering that's been disproven, but here you have a dermatologist with his the perfect mix of influencer on millions of followers, professional in his field of holistic dermatology, so that's another thing as well, is, you know, we may not all be professionals, but we can all do our research. We can all find out what particular titles mean and how long they've taken to get that title. What's their experience? You know, are they actually, they've given themselves a title doctor? Are they actually a doctor? And in the UK, Google that.
Yeah.
On the doctor, something.
You'll see me on there.
Yeah.
Here's the thing as well. With somebody who has a doctorate and has knowledge, and then can make shit up. So, like, when I was kind of giving Anastasia Beverly Hills a benefit of a doubt, with my knowledge, I made up an excuse for them.
Right.
You could do the same thing. If you're a dermatologist, you can be like, this is my skincare line. You might have heard this.
Yeah.
But with my knowledge, I can spew some shit.
This is what it is.
Yeah. Right. This is probably what it means. You know?
Like, well, that's one of the biggest things at the moment. Yeah. There's a doctor online who has a very particular niche.
Yeah.
Who a lot of people believe are using that niche to sell their own products.
Right, exactly.
And it's very, very like, oh, this ingredient is bad for you. You won't find it in my products. Mm-hmm. This ingredient's perfect for you. It's the only one you should be using at this particular percentage. You'll find this in all my products, you know? So I think that's where the trust, not the fact that they have a skincare line, but the kind of
you know, this is why it's important to look at a whole range of people. When people come onto my page and they're like, oh, well, this dermatologist said this. Mm. And I was like, well, check out this person, that person, that person.
Yeah.
And don't just pick a professional you believe because it relates to what you want to hear.
Right.
Right. So you, with anything, I'll say if people have been to university, right, or they've done a degree or they've done a master's, you know how to research. You are literally graded on your research. Robert, no. You know how to do research. Right. You know how to form well-rounded opinions. Yeah. You know how to make sensible choices about, you know, references and, you know... So we have to do that. And I feel like, you know, we have been put in a position where there are so many professionals online now. Mm-hmm. We need to really look into what do these titles mean.
Right.
And like compare it to other people. Yeah. So like I have a list of like professionals ranging from estheticians, product brand owners who aren't necessarily licensed, you know, who haven't done anything, who, you know, who are just experts in the industry. Mm-hmm. Derms, cosmetic chemists, cosmetic formulators, I have a whole list, and these are people who never put their own opinion into stuff.
Right.
They show you the science, they show you pros and cons, for and against, and I always pick people who I think are pretty level-headed and never put their own own beliefs into, you know, what the outcome is.
Same with anything. Like, how do you research anything? Mm-hmm. How do you decide, like puppies? We're going to get a puppy. Mm-hmm. Is it, one, is it cute? Yes. Mm-hmm. Two, does it fit into your lifestyle? Mm-hmm. Does it bark a lot? Can it be left alone for an hour or two? Does it, what kind of food does it need? How much exercise? I hope you look into something that deeply. A car, when you're buying a car, you know, what all these details to look into. You don't just watch a video and be like, that's the one.
That's true.
That's everything I need to know. You research everything, you know, you speak to someone, you talk to a salesperson. You can't just, and it should be the same with, I do the same with deodorant. Like, you shouldn't just be like, that says dry.
Yeah, that says dry and cool and mint. But this, I think once you found people, for like Michelle Wong from La Muffin Beauty Science is one of the most level-headed, straight to the point, kind of like, this is true, this isn't, according to science, which is what the vast majority of people put their beliefs in, right? Science for evidence. So now, because years ago, I always compare what she said to other people, and she always just came out as the most level-headed, you know? Yeah. So now anything she posts, I agree with, because I've spent, you know, years reading her stuff.
Right,
I kind of like trust her opinion now. And that's, I think, the way you build relationships and trust with people.
Yes, yeah.
And, you know, I got people who have followed me from my ASOS career to here who still are with me, because they've followed me for years and they trust what I say. Right, you know? Exactly. And I feel like, you know, that should come at every level, whether you're an influencer or, you know, your esthetician that you've taken years to try and find a good one, you know?
Exactly.
So it's interesting. I feel like, I think Twitter's a really interesting place to follow estheticians and dermatologists, because as much as I don't like drama within any industry, they're very good at calling out bullshit.
You know,
from other professionals. Yeah,
exactly. And especially dermatologists and estheticians who are people of colour. Mm-hmm. I've been like, what's it called when you follow someone on Twitter?
Following.
Oh, I
twittling.
I've been twittling them. And they just have the most like, here's the information, this is the information you need, this is where this information comes from. It's not, they're not trying to sell anything. And the same actually with all the dermatologists and people I follow, which isn't very much because I'm not really into skincare, but I like to see opinions. Mm. It's very much to the point. Mm-hmm. And that's what you need. To the point facts, straight up, like, this is a lie, this is the truth. Just you don't be like, I don't know, it's so difficult. It's so difficult to... And it comes down to the whole thing again of like, are they trying to sell me something? Mm. Are they trying to... And here's the thing as well. I've done videos that are sponsored, but if somebody asks for a recommendation in the comments, I'll still recommend another brand.
Oh, yeah.
If I think it's going to work for them.
Better than
what I
use. Yeah, like sponsored... I think the Inculists are really good from a skincare brand point of view at being like, oh, our brand's not for you. Or like, so in... Because usually... In some contracts, you will get people say you can't mention other brands, and that includes in the comments. But the Inculists are like, you know, even in the video, if you think you know a similar product or you know a product works well with it, feel free to mention it.
Yeah.
And there'll be bits where it's like, oh, would the Inculist niacinamide be good for me? I'll be like, no, this brand will work better. Even the Ordinary, they're like, you can chuck out anything you want. That's the
way it should be as well. You shouldn't, you should consider everyone's, if you're going to put out advice, you should consider everyone's skin.
Yeah.
If something is like very greasy and I use it and it's really greasy, I'm going to be like, if you're oily, don't use it, you know?
Yeah.
just how it should be.
Yeah.
Did we talk about what we're meant to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, we've been speaking for an hour.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what we talked about.
What was
the
subject again?
Misinformation.
Misinformation.
I think we covered it.
I think we covered that.
I think here's a conclusion, Ben. One, don't trust just for popular people is one.
Mm-hmm.
Two is.
One is two is.
Yeah. The second one is stop it. No, I don't
Can
know.
You just stop it?
Stop. Second one, research. Do your own research.
Do your own research as if you were going to see anyone.
Right, and research doesn't mean like boring, like, let's go to the library.
Don't go to the library and take out several books.
Watch five videos. Yeah. Find a dermatologist online.
Compared to another one.
Just, you know, something like that. Makeup, fine, whatever, you know. Yeah. But it's something that's really important. And it goes to everything, not just skincare, not just beauty. You know, toasters. How's your toaster doing? Is this going to blow up my house? You know, I get scared about that.
Yeah. How many years has this toaster studied
for? I lived in Australia, we bought a toaster from Kmart.
Oh, I love Kmart! Yeah.
And we plugged it in and all our electricity blew up.
Really good news.
Yeah. So yeah. That happened.
Yeah. So research.
Now,
so
I researched toasters.
3 years research your toasters.
Compare five different toasters.
I think the general rule of the internet is don't believe everything you see, no matter what that source of information comes from. And you don't have to be an industry professional to be able to say, don't believe everything you trust, even if it's coming from a professional.
Exactly.
Especially if it's coming from an influencer.
All right. Here's the thing. So let me just say really quickly.
Go on.
Always, I think we say this a few times, but always remember, people online are trying to get clicks and views. My reaction video thumbnails is me like, oh my god, which is
a shoe wearing
lipstick. Yeah. You know, it's me reacting in a shocked way or a laughing way, which is a clip from a thing, but I've chosen a steal from a video
to get views
with the biggest emotion because I want people to click on it to get the information. Mm-hmm. Everything online is to get information. Mm-hmm. Those adverts you see online is to get information, to get clicks. Even personalized adverts to get clicks, you know?
Clicks and information.
But it's a profession for people. People professionally do online advertising. They do online YouTube, what's it called?
Ing.
Thumbnails. Yeah. They make your thumbnails professional.
Oh, yeah. It's a whole job.
There's a psychological way that it appeals to people. Mm-hmm. Remember that. It's not just the internet. Mm-hmm. It is a little bit deeper
everything,
than that.
Yeah.
It's everything. We're in the Matrix.
Yeah.
We're a hologram.
Yeah. QAnon.
Is that what we're called?
I don't know. Yeah, listen, it's very easy to be lazy when it comes to internet stuff.
Yeah.
I've done it. Right. I've gone, like, for example, buying things.
I bought the wrong toaster.
I bought the wrong thing.
Yeah.
You know.
That's the thing, like, these videos and these tutorials. And videos have become such a just normal part
staple.
Of our lives, staple part of our lives, that we're like, yeah, that's life.
Yeah.
Where it's like, just look past that. Mm-hmm. Go like this.
Yeah.
I'm flicking my head for people.
Like one factor you have to think of as well, as we said, it's a popularity contest, so it doesn't mean the people with the most numbers are particularly the best informed.
Like, think about it. Would you click on a video where somebody has that mask on one whole half of their face and they look like they're in pain, or someone who's smiling wearing a face mask? Like, you're going to click on the one where someone's in pain.
Pain.
Because as humans, we want to see
people
in pain.
We want to see people in pain.
Okay. You know. Listen, we need a psychologist on this.
We do.
Are you a psychologist?
Send us your certificate.
Okay. But we do actually. I actually do want someone.
We
DM us.
Yeah. Maybe there's a whole psychologist YouTube realm.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Don't take advice from him.
No. Yeah. Don't self-diagnose.
Exactly.
All right. Well, listen.
Thanks
for listening. We have a joint channel, The Welsh Twins. Yeah. You can search on YouTube. Yeah. We also have joint Instagram, at Welsh Twins.
Right.
You can follow me, James_S_Welsh. And you can follow Robert at RobertWLSH.
Yes.
And then also our podcast Instagram is The Double Cleanse.
Oh my god.
Oh god.
Should we look?
Yeah, we'll have a quick look.
Oh god.
Oh Christ.
How do people do this thing? The Double Cleanse Podcast.
The Double Cleanse Podcast. Well, we don't really do
too much. We had to pick that back up. But thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for joining
Everyone on the internet's a liar.
Everyone you've ever known is a liar.
Yeah, two is. And we will see you next time.
Yes, see you next week.
Bye. Bye. We'll be right back.